We have been dealing with the question of living in Eretz Yisrael. I don't want to go through the what it was that brought me to this discussion. What I'd like to do is wrap up the things that we have said during the course of the last few weeks, and I'm going to wrap them up by using most probably one of the most classic sources of all. And there comes a time in our lives when we indeed have to study this source, and that's exactly what I want to do. The sheets that you have in front of you are from the Sefer HaKuzari of Rabbi Yehuda Halevi. Rabbi Yehuda Halevi was the outstanding poet par excellence of the Jewish people. So much of what was written by Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, and we're talking about the 11th century, so much of what he wrote has become part of our tefillahs, and more so part of the keynote on Tisha B'Av. His great work was the Kuzari, and the Kuzari is in the form of a dialogue between the king of the Khazars and a chover, a Talmud Chacham. Legend has it that there are questions whether it was historical or not, but it seems that there was a people called the Khazars. They had a king. The king kept having a recurring dream that his deeds are not good, though his intentions are. He truly sought God, and as he keeps having these recurring dreams that your intentions are good but your actions are not, he decides that he's going to speak to a philosopher, a Christian and a Muslim, to ask them about their faith. And he had decided in advance that he's not going to speak to the Jew, because Jews are a despised and a hated people, so he's simply not going to bother with them. But it seems that he finds no satisfaction neither with the philosopher nor the Christian or Muslim, and ultimately he decides that he has to talk to the Yehudi, and you can get the feeling like, oh, okay, Jew, what is it that you have to say? The Sefer HaKuzari is a book of wide-ranging content, an explanation of Jewish philosophy, halacha, so many areas. So I want to take this section, really two parts. One is in Maimar Sheni. The Sefer is divided into five ma'amarim, five major sections. Every section is divided into prakim. We're going to take a few prakim in Ma'amar Sheni, and then from there, and it's all so neatly ready for you here. On the next page, we're going to come to Chatimat HaSefer, the end of the Sefer, as it finishes the Sefer. And there will be fascinating things there. Without further ado, I'm going to take you through. Starting at the beginning of page one that you have in front of you. Top line, really, the top line were the words of the king of the Khazars. Asher latvarim shamru chachamenu b'shevach Eretz Yisrael. Those things that our wise men said about the. About the praise of Eretz Yisrael, that is, Rabbi Yehuda Halevi is saying, the Chaveh, Arukim Heim Ma'od, there's a great deal that they said about Shevach Eretz Yisrael. Omar HaKuzri, says the Kuzari, says the king, Hashmiini Nomashat HaZochemi Divrei, tell me, let me hear a little bit of what you remember from their words. Omar HaChaveh, says the Chaveh, Achad hadavarim ha'elahu ma'ashamru. One of the things that they said is Hakol malin la'eretz Yisrael vein hakol moridin. This is the mission at the end of Masechet Ketubot that says Hakol, everybody can coerce a spouse to go up to Eretz Yisrael vein hakol moridin, and not everybody can force a spouse to go down from Eretz Yisrael. And therefore our rabbis decided, ki ha'isha she'ena rotza la'alot im ba'alal Eretz Yisrael, a wife who doesn't want to go with her husband to Eretz Yisrael, teitzei b'lo k'tuba, goes out without receiving any of the benefits of her k'tuba. Before you get unnerved about it, Rabbi Yehuda Levi tells you, v'chein lehepach. This, the opposite as well is true. It doesn't work only one way, it works both ways. If a wife says that she wants to go on aliyah, she can coerce the husband to go on aliyah, and if he refuses, he has to give a get and pay her tshuva in full. V'chein lehepach. Same thing is true the opposite way. Ha'ish she'ino rotzeh la'alot imishto l'Eretz Yisrael. A man who doesn't want to go with his wife to Eretz Yisrael, yotzi, he sends her out, he gives her a get, v'yitain, ketubah, he has to pay the ketubah. Va'od amru. And further they said, and this is of course going to be quite significant with regard to the that which we are responding to, la'olam yodur adam v'Eretz Yisrael, v'yir shiruba goyim, v'al yodur b'chutz l'aretz, v'afilu b'yir shiruba Yisrael. A person should rather choose to live in Eretz Yisrael in a city where the majority of people are non-Jews, rather than live in Chutz Laretz, even in a city where the majority of people are Jews. Now this of course does not mean to say that one is simply going to walk into a city without the basic necessities of Jewish life. But if it's a matter of choosing a city where the majority of people are Goyim, but it's an Eretz Yisrael, that takes precedence over, and because we have guests here, I don't plan on guests from Chutz Laretz, I don't plan on naming communities all over the world where there are many Jews living there. The fact is, this is the place where to be. Why? Shekho hador be'Eretz Yisrael, because anyone who lives in Eretz Yisrael, dome lemish yesh lo l'ka, is comparable, he is like somebody who has a god. Shekho hador be'Chutz Laretz, whoever lives in outside of Eretz Yisrael, Dome Lemi She'en Lo Elokai, is comparable to a person who does not have a God. Chein Hu Omer B'David, and so it says by David. David, when he has to flee Eretz Yisrael from before Shaul, it says Ki Gershuni Hayom, they have cast me out today. May Histapea Bedachalat Hashem, from being part of the inheritance of God, Lamor, saying to me, Leich avod elohim achirim, go worship other gods. Nobody told David to worship other gods. David had to flee, so he fled. But David saw leaving Eretz Yisrael as being tantamount to worshiping other gods. Lo malachodis comes to tell you, kol hador b'chutz la'aretz, ka'oved avodah zarah, whoever lives in Chutz Laretz is as though he is worshiping other gods. It is a form of idolatry. Now there is on the statement that we learned before, Shekol Hador be'Eretz Yisrael, whoever lives in Eretz Yisrael, Domeh l'mishyesh lo l'kai, it is as though he has a god. Shekol Hador be'Chutz Laretz, and whoever lives in Chutz Laretz, it is as though he does not have a god. This is a Gemara toward the end of Masechet Ketubot, and there's a haflaw. One of the classic Mefarshim makes a very fascinating comment. What do you mean by dome? It's like. He takes a closer look at the sentence and he says the following. Let's take kahador b'chutz laretz. It's as though he doesn't have a god. If you live in Chutz Laretz, it's as though you don't have a god. So he says, you know what that means? This fellow in Chutz Laretz is an observant Jew. He does have a god. But because he lives in Chutz Laretz, it's as though he doesn't have a god. The shocking part, of course, or the fascinating part, is the second. How will he learn the first half of the sentence? And he does. The Chador b'Eretz Yisrael, somebody who lives in Eretz Yisrael, Dome Elimi Sheyesh Lo Elokai, it is as though he does have a god. That means somebody who lives in Eretz Yisrael that isn't observant, doesn't have a god. But because he lives in Eretz Yisrael, Dome, it is as though he does have a god. That's quite a statement now. I didn't make it. Thank God the statement was made by the Haflah. I'm not going to learn what it says in the parentheses. Let's go further. Va'od Amru. Further, our rabbi said, Kol HaKovur b'Eretz Yisrael, whoever is buried in Eretz Yisrael, Ki'ilu Kovur Tachas HaMizbeach. Whoever is buried in Eretz Yisrael, it is as though he is buried under the Mizbeach, right beneath the altar. It's a source of forgiveness. Our rabbis praise the person who died in Eretz Yisrael more than one who was brought after his death to Eretz Yisrael. Shekein Amru, this is what our rabbi said, there's no comparison between being absorbed into Eretz Yisrael during one's lifetime and being absorbed into the country after one's death. Gedola mizot, even more than this, they said, somebody who had the ability to live in Eretz Yisrael, he had the opportunity, and he didn't do so. But what did he do? Ki im tziva, he commanded. He commanded ki yisau elel lachar moto. He left a will, last will and testament that they should carry him to Eretz Yisrael after his death. All of Amru about a person like that. Chazal from the Sukkim say v'chayechem during your lifetime v'nachalati samtem l'toreda, you made my inheritance an abomination. You didn't want to come here when you were alive. V'mitatchem, and after you died, v'tavo v'tatamu et aratzi, you have come and you have made my land impure and tamei. The kama hiflig Rabbi Chanina lahakpid bazeh, and how in what an exaggerated way Rabbi Chanina expressed this. This is going to be a shocking statement of Rabbi Chanina. Ki kishenishal, when he was asked the mutol aploni latzeit lechutz laretz liabem et eishet achiv, he was asked by somebody, he lived in Eretz Yisrael, he was asked by somebody that somebody told him his brother died in chutz laretz and left an almana without children. So what is the halacha? The halacha is that the brother should marry the almana, should marry the wife of his brother. So he asked him, listen, can I go to Chutzarts in order to marry her? Amar. So he said, look, what a statement. Achiv Nosa Goya, his brother married a Shiksa, a Goya, Baruch HaMakom Shehargo, thank God that he killed him. Hu Yered Acharav, he should go down after him? The brother hadn't married his shiksa, but he considered somebody who was living in Eretz Yisrael a guy, and anybody that somebody married in Chutz Aretz, he considered a shiksa, and therefore you're going to go down to Chutz Aretz in order to marry her. I mean, of course, this is an exaggerated statement, but it's an exaggerated statement that's brought in the Gemara, that emerges from the mouth of one of the great rabbis of the Talmud. We're not talking about a man in the street who's making a statement of this sort. This is the way they saw it. They felt it with every fiber of their being. And that's why Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi brings it, because Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi, he can identify with those feelings. And there are times here, I believe, that we can identify with such feelings. We would never make statements of that sort. But how many times have we thought to ourselves, if there would be another 200,000-300,000 Jews over here living in Yehuda v'Shomron, we wouldn't have any problems here today. If we have another 200,000-300,000 Frumigiden living over here in Eretz Yisrael today, and every member of the cabinet already would be wearing a kippah, we wouldn't have anybody going out in Tel Aviv making demonstrations b'moitzoi Shabbat na'atzoret ha'charedim, moitzoi Shabbos, we're going to stop the charedim. What are you talking about? We'd be running this country. V'chein osru chachomenu limkor karka b'Eretz Yisrael l'nachri, our rabbis prohibited selling land in Eretz Yisrael to a guy. Now I will make one thing very clear. There was no halacha that said that you kill real estate agents who sell land to a guy. But our rabbis prohibited the sale of land in Eretz Yisrael to a guy. V'af osru limkor korod bayit. You can't even sell the beams or the materials of a house and leave a house as a churva. You can't leave a house that was built in Eretz Yisrael, you can't just leave it as a ruin. I said recently at a Sheva Brachas, the Gemara says, in the Sefer Brachas, the Gemara says,
Kol HaMen Misuda Skolson, anybody who participates in the Suda of a Chosin and Kala, Eino Mesamcho, and you don't add to the joy, Over B'Chamisha Kolos transgresses the five sounds that are listed by Yirmiyo, Kol Sasson, Kol Simcha, Kol Chosin, Kol Kala, Kol Omru, Hodo Hashem Shachar. And if you do participate and add to the joy of Chosin and Kala, what is your reward? So the Gemara lists a number of rewards for somebody who adds to the joy and the happiness of Chosin and Kala. And one of them is Ki'ilu Bono Churva Achas Me Churva Yerushalayim. If you participate in the Simcha of Chosin and Kala, then it is as though you have rebuilt one of the ruins of Yerushalayim. Isn't that amazing? If the United Nations would know that, so you know what they would do for being the Sameach Chosin V'Kala? They'd condemn everybody for being the Sameach Chosin V'Kala. It's like building on Har Chama. Every time you dance at a Chasin or sing at a Sheva Brachas, you're rebuilding the ruins of Yerushalayim. Furthermore, says Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, to this we have to add Masha Amru, what our rabbi said, in Donin Dine Knasot El Eretz Yisrael, in Torah there are certain payments that are made that are considered fines. For example, a man steals $100, we catch him, he has to pay $200. Returns the $100 that he stole, and the other $100 is Knas Keto. Now those laws, and there are others like that in Torah, could only be done in Eretz Yisrael, not in Chutz Lartz. In other words, what he wants to point out is that even in the halachas that regulate the life of Jew and fellow Jew, Eretz Yisrael is different than Chutz Lartz. V'chein Masha Amru, also our rabbi said, Shelo Yetzei Ha'eved L'Chutz Lartz, and a slave shouldn't go to Chutz Lartz. You can't, if a fellow decides he's going to move to Chutz Lartz, he cannot take a slave with him. Slave can say, I refuse to go. Master has to free him. Or sell him to somebody who's going to stay in Eretz Yisrael. V'har bei mamarim kayotze beile, there are so many statements similar to this. V'chein amru, our rabbis also said, avirad Eretz Yisrael machkin, the heir of Eretz Yisrael gives wisdom. U'mei ahavatam la'aretz amru, because of their great love for Eretz Yisrael, they said, a person who goes 4 cubits, 4 ells in Eretz Yisrael is guaranteed a place in the world to come. Reb Zeide, this is also a Gemara at the end of Masechet Ketubot. Reb Zeide, Hashem Yitoch Hishtokikuto Lavol Eretz Yisrael Miyad. Reb Zeide, because of his great desire, his yearning and his longing to get to Eretz Yisrael as quickly as possible, he came from Babel and he finally comes, it was probably to the Jordan. Hit Akesh Lavor Beraglov Benohar Mishalo Matzah Klei Shayit. He didn't find a boat, he couldn't wait for the ferry, so he went by foot into the waters to cross the river. Ono Lemin Shetamal Zeh, there was a heretic who saw Reb Zeide going by foot, he's walking through the water into Eretz Yisrael. So the fact is, the Gemara says that this heretic told him, you're an Amo Peziza, you're a hasty people, you've been doing it since Sinai. At Sinai you said, Nasa V'Nishma, we will do and we will hear. You said, do before hear. First you have to hear. But you're hasty people. The life. Where your life and be Leicester. And he says, you're doing the same thing now. Can't wait for the ferry to come and take you across the river. Said Rab Zeide, his response to him was, Duchta de Moshe v'Aaron lo zachale, the place that Moshe and Aaron never made it into. Mi yema de zechinala, who says, I'm going to make it. I'm going to rush and I'm going to hurry to make sure that I cross into Eretz Yisrael. Reb Zeide fascinates me for another reason. I think it was last week, I had discussed my conversation with Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, Zeche Tzadik Levracha. So I discussed Reb Zeide with him. Why did I discuss Reb Zeide? Because the Gemara says that Rav Zeira's Rebbe, Rebbe Yehuda, was opposed to leaving Bavel. You can't go from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. So Rav Zeira, the Gemara says, ha-chavet ha-mishtamit minei the Rebbe Yehuda. Rav Zeira stayed out of his Rebbe, Rebbe Yehuda's way. He avoided him. Rashi says, because he wants to go up to Eretz Yisrael, and he doesn't want his Rebbe to stop him. Because Rebbe Yehuda held Pasuk in Yirmiyahu that says, Bavelo yuvo v'shama yiyu, to Bavel they should come, and there they should be, that Jews have to stay in Bavel. Rav Zeira didn't want to, he wanted to go on Aliyah, so he stayed out of his Rebbe's way, and ultimately he went on Aliyah. The Gemara goes on to say that the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu is referring not to people, but to the clay Beit HaMikdash, the vessels of the Beit HaMikdash that were brought to Bavel. So I remember telling Rav Zeira, telling Rav Yankiv, listen, remember my question was that I wanted to, in a sense, go against the words of the Rebbe. The Rebbe, Bavitcher Rebbe, told me to stay and not to come on Aliyah. So I wanted to, but I wanted to go anyway, and I wanted his permission that I should go. So I told him, but listen, Rav Zeira didn't listen to his Rebbe. So he smiled. And he said, Reb Zeira given kluger vidir, Reb Zeira was smarter than you. He never asked his Rebbe. He never asked him. I said, oh, come on, you know. But he knew that his Rebbe didn't make any difference. I remember telling this over to my mother-in-law, Olea Shalom. She was always interested in knowing about Reb Zeira, because she always wanted to know. And what happened? And when Rav Zeira came to Eretz Yisrael, did he succeed? You know, did he make a parnasa? She always saw me in the guise of Rav Zeira and Rav Yehuda and Lubavitcher Rebbe. She always wanted to know. Yeah, I told her, don't worry, Shvigah Tayyela, don't worry, Rav Zeira. He made it big in Eretz Yisrael. Don't worry. All right. Next page, right, left hand side of the page. It's now the king of the Khazars who's speaking. Oy, what the king of the Khazars is going to throw at Rabbi Yehuda Halevi. And what's going to be even greater, I believe, is going to be the response of Rabbi Yehuda Halevi. In chain, says the king to the Chover, Halo ata over al mitzvah hamechuyevet lefi toratcha. You are transgressing a mitzvah that you are obligated to according to Torah. Im eincha ole el ha-makom ahu, if you don't go up to that place. Ve'eincha oseyu beit chayecha u'motecha, if you don't make it the place where you live and die. Im kiyata omer, even though you say in the brachas of the half, after the haftorah, we say, Benson Rachem al Tzion, have mercy on Tzion, ki hi beit chayenu, it is the house of our lives. And we say it, and we say it. So you're saying it, so what are you doing about it? Number one, what do we see over here from Rabbi Yehuda Halevi? We see from Rabbi Yehuda Halevi that the mitzvah of Aliyah is a mitzvah. What kind of a mitzvah? It's a mitzvah chiyuvit, a mitzvah that you are chayiv to perform. It's not a mitzvah that if you go, you will have to fulfill the mitzvah. He's taking a clear halachic position, which is, of course, as I pointed out in the last 3 weeks, the halachic position of the overwhelming majority of Rishonim and Achronim. This is the position. There is an obligation to go to Eretz Yisrael. Then he goes on to say, Mamin, you believe, ki hashchinah toshuv lishkon shom, you believe that the Divine Presence is going to come back and dwell there. So what are you doing here? What are you doing here? You gave me a great speech. And according to your speech, what are you doing over here? You should be going to Eretz Yisrael. And then he points out, even if the only advantage that the land would have is that the Divine Presence was there for over 900 years during the course of Bayit Rishon, that should be enough reason in and of itself to run to that country. V'lulei hayola oretz hazod bilti mitronze, if the land would only have had that advantage, shehit mida bo hashchina b'meshech tov tov kov shana, that the Shekhinah was there constantly for 900 years. Min haroi haya. The right thing would be ti kosafna hanefashot lalot elah, everyone's soul should yearn and long to go there. Leman tizdakach mabo, in order to become purified in her. Kashe yikra utanu, as it happens to us, biyachaseinu onu el mekomot hatzadikim v'nevi'im.
He says me, and he's not yet a Jew, so he says we also have a very special relationship to places where our tzadikim and our prophets were.
Alachas kama v'kama biyotam sharei shemayim.
Certainly, in your case, when you're talking about a land and a country with a city that's the very gate of heaven.
Dover Hashem hiskimu all of kol ha'omot, he says. This is something that all of the nations of the world agree with you on this.
Kachman minim anotzim, the Christians believe.
Ki el ha'aretz hazot tikabatz no kol ha'neshamot.
They believe that to this land, ultimately, all of the souls are going to be gathered.
U'mimeno ta'alena ha'shamayimah, from here they're going to go up to heaven.
V'afan shehu Islam.
The people of Islam, aminim ki aretz hazot hi mekom ha-hei alut. This is the place of the going up.
Ritzoni lomar, what I mean to say by this is, ha-makom ha-shem imenu ho-alu ha-nevi'im ha-shamayimah.
This is the place from which the prophets went heavenward. El Burak.
Who was El Burak?
That was Mohammed's horse.
It was on that horse that he made the flight to the heavens. I think he ended up in Mecca or Medina.
So it's called the Makom Ha'alut, the place of going up.
V'hi ha'makom asher elav yikbitzu kol bnei adam lamud bo l'mishpat hecharut.
This is the place that all people are going to be gathered for ultimate judgment.
They don't know what's waiting for them here.
Of course, this here is Emek Yehoshaphat, Yoel. The Navi talks about the valley of judgment.
Why will they be judged here?
The Chol B'nei Adam Mechavnim B'Tfilah L'Makom Hazeh. All people have kavana in their prayer to this place.
U'L'Kulam U'Makom La'Aliyah L'Degel.
And for all of them, it's a place of pilgrimage.
Don't we see all of the Christian non-Jewish groups that crowd into this city?
It's always been the place of pilgrimage of all nations, all religions.
Now he comes in for the unkindest cut of all, and he says, "Im kein, if so, ein kriyatcha v'hishtachavayatcha nechecha ki im ma'aseh tzviyot."
Or you're bending and you're bowing toward Yerushalayim,
and maybe singing about songs about Yerushalayim.
It's all tzviyot. It's all hypocrisy.
All hypocrisy.
Oh, avodah she'ini mo kavanah, or at the very least, it's certainly some kind of service that has absolutely no kavanah.
You say three times a day, "V'lo Yerushalayim yechav berachem intashev." You say, "Rachim al tzion ki beit chayenu."
I mean, all of the songs about Yerushalayim. What are you talking about? Singing all the all of that? It's hypocrisy.
And he says, "Your fathers, your patriarchs chose to live in that land, though it was at the time a land that was completely full of idol worship."
What would have happened if Avraham would have told the Rabbeinu Shalom,
when the Rabbeinu Shalom turns to him and says, "Lech lecha me'arzo meladcha el arz asher arecha,"
he'd ask him, "Listen, are there Torah institutions there? Will I have a chavrusa in Eretz Yisrael?
Will I fit in socially with the people of the land?
God, listen, I really don't expect a Ferrari to drive around with, or steaks for breakfast, but, you know, I need a Yiddish Gagan. They would never have come here."
But Avram didn't ask that question.
Your fathers chose to live here, Yotemi Bechol Mishkinotam,
more than all of their other dwelling places.
They chose rather to be strangers in this land
than being citizens in their own places.
Even though at the time that they came here, there was no divine presence dwelling in the land,
it was not revealed here.
Because then the land was full of all sorts of spiritual filth and idolatry. Despite how bad, so to speak, the inhabitants of the land were, lo hit avu ki im lihidabek ba, their desire was only to cling to God in this land. They would not have left Eretz Yisrael even at a time of hunger, except when they received permission from God. And even then, when they did leave, they asked that their bones should be brought up there. Now, certainly as far as Yitzchak is concerned, we know that the Rebbeinu Shem told him at a time of famine, don't leave Eretz Yisrael. The only one who was told not to leave Eretz Yisrael was Yitzchak. Shchon ba'aretz hazos, dwell in this land. Chazal said, Shchon ba'aretz hazos, asei ba'shchuna, make a neighborhood. Make a neighborhood. There is no Jewish neighborhood, you make a Jewish neighborhood. Have an oteya, have a zoreya, plant, plow. According to another medrash, Hashken Boshchina, bring the Shchina down. With regard to Yaakov, even when Yaakov Avinu finally hears that his son Yosef is alive, and he says, I want to go down to see him before I die. He comes to Be'er Sheva, and it seems that at Be'er Sheva he most probably has second thoughts about it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to him in a vision at night, and he tells him, Al tira miredo mitzchaimo, don't be afraid of going down to Egypt, which is obviously an indication that he is afraid of going down to Egypt. And don't worry, God tells him, Anochi eredimcha, I'm going to go down with you, v'anochi elcha gamalo, and I'm going to go up with you. I'm going to take you out, don't worry about it. That's obviously what he's referring to. I don't know whether Rav Yehuda Levi is referring to Avram Avinu. When Avram Avinu went down, it says there was a Rav Baritz, there was a famine. After he came into the land, there was a famine. He went down to Mitzrayim. He may very well mean that. And the only reason why I hesitate is because the Ramban in Chumash over there says, yes, this was a sin. Avram should not have gone down to Eretz Mitzrayim at a time of famine, and therefore Sarah was taken to the house of Paro. That's the position taken by the Ramban. What position Rav Yehuda HaLevi will take, I don't know. The important thing is that this has been a real onslaught. This has been a real attack. Then you're a hypocrite. You tell me all the great things about Eretz Yisrael, how beautiful, how great it is, Shechina, divine presence, it's holy. All that, you told me all of that. And you're not there. What are you doing outside of Eretz Yisrael?
I have always, since the first time I learned it, I've always been impressed with the answer that Rav Yehuda HaLevi gives. Because we know already all of the answers that Rav Yehuda HaLevi could have given, right? We can give you the whole litany of answers. Certainly during many periods in history, and we're going to see about that as well, there were periods in history when it was in fact dangerous to travel to Eretz Yisrael. It really was dangerous. It was dangerous. No question about it. And he's going to deal with that. There were times that Eretz Yisrael was closed. You couldn't get into Eretz Yisrael. Chances were that a person would never make it alive to Eretz Yisrael. There were genuine reasons. There was no industry in the country. There was no way to make a living. And when we talk about no way to make a living, it meant starving in Eretz Yisrael. There were difficulties. And then, of course, we know the series of questions that we've been studying in our sheet. Yes, he could have told him, listen, there is no Jewish neighborhood over there. There are no yeshivas. There are no kelim. There's no kosher food. King of the cosmos, what do you want from me? I can't do that. I'm not going to fit in socially. You know, all of the things that we have already heard. And you know what he might? You know what I think? Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi could have told the Kuzari, don't bully me. Don't bully me. But that's not his answer. Now, I remember when I learned it at first, this translation, this is a new translation, relatively new translation of the
Kuzari, I had always studied it in its previous translation. By the way, Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, the great Hebrew poet, wrote the Kuzari in Arabic, and it was translated from the Arabic into Hebrew. And the fact is that the longer title of the Sefer was he called it the defense of the despised religion. Sefer Tshuvot, this is a sefer of answers, Lata'anot Neged Hadat HaMushpelet, against the religion that is cast down. V'havaat Rayot L'Hagana Alaha, and this is to bring proofs to defend her. In other words, the Kuzri really was written in defense of Judaism. So he wrote it in a language that should be understood not only by the masses of Jews, but it should be understood by the non-Jewish world around him as well. For that matter, even the Rambam. Rambam wrote his first great work, which was his commentary on the Mishnah. He wrote it in Arabic, and it was translated. And there have been new translations of it. The Yad HaChazaka, the Rambam's great halachic work he wrote in Lashon Kodesh, and it is a masterpiece of Hebrew. And somebody asked him at one point that he should have it translated into Arabic, and he shuddered at the thought. He said, Chas v'sholem, I have charata, I regret the fact that I had that I wrote the Perish of Mishnayos in Arabic. I'm only pointing that out because I had studied this with a previous translation where the opening words of his response were, Hovashtani Melech Kuzar, you have embarrassed me, King of the Khazars. I'm beginning to think, as I keep reading over and over again this new translation, it may even be a better translation. Ochein Motzoto Mekom Cherpati Melech Kuzar, King of the Khazars, you have found the place of my shame. You found it. You found it. You got me. I'm not going to give any excuses. You got me. Ki omnam chetzehu asher biglolo. It is this sin, because of this sin, that all that could have been during the time of Bayit Sheni, the second commonwealth, when Jews returned from Babel, all that God had intended did not come to be because of this sin, that Jews didn't come on Aliyah. God had planned that His divine presence should return here, second Beth HaMikdash would be built, and it would remain La'olam Vod forever and ever after. And Jews would not have to go into exile again. Ki onan Ched said, this sin, Asher Biglolo, because of it, Lo Nitkayem HaYiyud, Asher Ya'ad Ho'elokah La'bayit Sheni, the destiny that God had in mind for the second Beit HaMikdash was never fulfilled. What did He have in mind? Roni v'simchi bat Zion. Ki hinini bovish shechanti betochet. No, Hashem. Zechariah says in the name of God, sing and be happy, Zion, because I'm coming to dwell in your midst, says God. God was ready for His divine presence to come down on Eretz Yisrael. Ki ha'inyano l'ki omad l'chul alayim kibar rishana. That divine idea was ready to come down upon them as at first. Ilu nanu kulam lakriya v'shavu le'eretz Yisrael b'nefesh chafetza, if all of them would have responded to the call and would have returned to Eretz Yisrael b'nefesh chafetza, with a willing soul, because they wanted to come. And all of these ideas are ideas that we have expressed in the course of the last few weeks. Avorak miktsasam nanu, only some answered the call. The rubam, and the majority, v'hachashuvim shebahem, and the important ones amongst them, and their leaders, nisharu b'bavel, they remained in Bavel. Maskimim lagolus v'lashivu, they agreed, they accepted upon themselves the exile and the enslavement. U'bilvad, here is of course the difficult sentence of all. U'bilvad shelo yipardu mimishkinotam u'me'eskeyem. Just as long as they don't have to leave their homes and their businesses. They couldn't leave their homes and their businesses. And it was because of that sin, because they didn't come. All that God had planned, simply came to naught. What a profound tragedy. I mean, if one is going to stop really to think about this, it can become terribly, terribly upsetting. We would have saved ourselves the suffering of 2,500 years. It's unbelievable what suffering we would have been able to save Klal Yisrael from if we would have listened to Ezra and come on Aliyah in those days. But we have been given a second chance. We've been given a second chance. I have a feeling more people have responded this time around than in the past. It's not good enough. It's not good enough. Yitochen, and it's possible, ki alzer ramaz Shlomo ba'amro, this is what Shlomo alluded to when he said in those beautiful psukim in Shir HaShirim, it's the story of the lover and his beloved, and the beloved says, Ani yishena v'libi er, I'm asleep, but my heart is awake. Kino et ha-golot v'shem shena, the golos is called sleep. Bet ha-madat ha-nevua b'kir bam v'shem leiv er, the prophecy in their midst was called the heart that is awake. And there the story is told how at first the beloved is looking for her lover. She goes through towns and villages, hamlets, up valleys, down valleys, up mountains, looking for him. She doesn't find him. Finally she comes in and she lies down and she hears the knock on the door. And she senses, kol dodi dofek, it's the sound of my beloved who is knocking on the door. But she says, Pashatati et kutonti, I've already taken off my coat, echacha el bishena. You know, I'm going to have to get dressed and go to the door. And she's so tired and she can't do it. And then Dodi shalach yado min hachor, she senses that her lover has his hand in the keyhole, trying somehow or other to open the door. He can't open the door. Meanwhile, Rosho nimla tal, his head becomes full of dew at night, and she finally gets up. She finally makes the effort, and he's gone. He's gone. Fake. When Shlomo HaMelech says the sound of my beloved knocking at the door, kivein lakriya asher yikra'em ha'elokai l'shuv la'aretz, he means the call. God is calling Jews to come back to Eretz Yisrael. Maybe one of these days it will be worthwhile to study the great essay of Rav Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, Kol Dodi Dofek, where he talks about God pounding and knocking on the heart of Klal Yisrael to awaken them to the great events of our time, the great events of history, great events of Kibbutz Golios, the ingathering of the exile, the establishment of the state, and all that is attendant to it. And the fact that we're able to survive surrounded by a sea of enmity. Hamilim, and those words, Sheroshi Nimla Tal, my head is full of dew, Hein Kinui Lashkina, that really describes the divine presence, Hayotzeit Mitzel Korat HaMigdash, the Shina coming out from under the covering of the Migdash and goes out to the people and calls for them. And what's the response? Pashatati et lutante, I've already taken off my coat, my cloak. Moda, this comes to teach us, al hit atzlam lihishama, that they were lazy to listen. La kriya, to the call, v'lo shuv l'Eretz Yisrael, to return to Eretz Yisrael. They couldn't get their act together. And they most probably even had people who justified for them their not returning to Eretz Yisrael. If you do it, it's a good thing to do. Eventually everyone should do it. Not good enough. Dodi Shalach Yadom in Achor, my beloved is the one who put his hand through the keyhole. Remez, this is a remez to Ezra Hapotzer Behem. Didn't we have a whole shiur on the letters that Ezra sent to all of the communities in the exile, calling on them, beseeching, importuning them to come back? And Nehemiah, the Nevi'im HaAchronim, they tried their best, but they did not succeed. Sof Dover. The end was, in fact, that Rak Chelek Min Ha'amnana, only a small portion of the people answered the call, V'lo B'leiv Shalom, and it wasn't with a complete heart. V'lachein G'molam Ha'elokai K'machshevet Libam, God repaid them precisely in the way that they had conducted themselves. God's promises were fulfilled only to a limited degree. In proportion to the fact that their arousal to Eretz Yisrael, their awakening to Eretz Yisrael was small. Because the fact is that this is the way God conducts himself with all people. If one's clinging to God is great, then God is going to respond that way. If it's small, it's small. God's divine presence comes down on a person according to the extent to which he has prepared himself. If it's a little, it's a little. We also. Would we be ready to come close and willing to come close to God, he would save us as he saved our fathers in Mitzrayim. Now that it's not so, we didn't come, we didn't go on Aliyah, we didn't hear the call, we weren't ready to take the step. All those things that we say in our davening, to bow down to his holy mountain, you know what all of that is? And you can include this, all of the songs, you know what they are? Kim kedibur hatuki uketzifzuf hazarzir. It's like the parrot. The parrot or the chirping of a bird. It's chirp, chirp. It's words. Meaningless words. Ki below kavanah talevan omen tvarabela, because we're not saying these things with real kavanah. El domeim, or words similar to them. Kasher ha'irota b'tzedek, sar ha'kuzarim. You said it right, king of the Khazars. That's an honest answer. There's something so refreshingly honest about it. Refreshingly honest. Rather than, one, coming up with all sorts of excuses, or two, which is even worse, there is also, but it's so terrible in Eretz Yisrael. It's so terrible. Do you know what's going on over there? And as I pointed out, I've heard it from people right here, telling it to students. It's so bad in Eretz Yisrael. And they always find something to zero in on. They always find something. I remember a few years ago it was Russian Olim who were going through the garbage in order to find food. They can't say that anymore, you understand? Most probably today they would talk about the Russian Mafia, you understand? Talk about the Russian Mafia. Who knows what else they'll come up with. There were times in which they thought, can't make a living here, people are starving, there are no jobs. Thank God I have difficulty figuring out what the terrible things of this country are. But that's another approach. An unholy approach of finding so much fault with this country. What are you talking about? Who would want to live over here? Who would want to live over here? Chas v'sholom. Also, l'daber b'gnusa shel Eretz Yisrael, you're not allowed to speak ill of Eretz Yisrael. And we do have a government. After 3 weeks that everybody was trying to tell us we're not going to have a government, presto, we got a government. We have everything, we have a government. Not only do we have a government, I don't think that anybody can use... We have a government, and not only that, I don't think anybody can use Parnassa as an excuse anymore for not coming on Aliyah. There are so many businesses that one can go into in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is becoming the center of world business. Certainly people who are in high tech, I don't have a clue what the word means. I know nothing about it at all. But it seems everybody and his kid brother is in high tech, in computers, in, I don't know, bikes, chips. There's a lot of things. If you want to, you can make a living in this country. For that matter, not only can you make a living, I think that our posek said you have to have enough money to give charity. They just should come into an apartment in Harnov, you understand? Spend an evening in an apartment in Harnov. How many times is there a knock on the door? And we're all softies, and we all give money, and Baruch Hashem, we have money to give for tzedakah, and we do give for tzedakah. And the fact is that most probably our taxes are also considered tzedakah. I don't know how much of American taxes goes for good tzedakahs, but boy, our boys in this neighborhood especially, they know how to get money out of the government for real tzedakahs. This government, the Israeli government in general, has been the greatest tomei Torah in history, the greatest supporters of Torah in history. I think Ben-Gurion should have been given, you know, the Keser Torah Award. Golda Meir should have been given the Keser Shem Tov Award. These people have been allocating, who cares why, but they've been allocating tremendous amounts of money for Torah. The fact is that all that one has to do is just look at the history of the last few hundred years, and I think this is important. I'm only going to speak it, mamish briefly, just mention the fact that is simply not known by us. We should know about it. That the waves of Aliyah that really broke ground over here were in the 18th century, the students of the Baal Shem Tov and the students of the Vilna Gaon. You have to read the stories of what they went through. How many families came, how many never made it. The fact is that the Baal Shem himself had to go back, shrouded in mystery, we don't know why. The Vilna Gaon went back. The Balatanya made it till Istanbul, I think, and had to go back. But others came here and made it here. And they suffered. And there were terrible losses. And there were those who Taka didn't make it because it was dangerous to come there. So, but Rumi even gave up everything. They're the ones who started the process of Aliyah. Didn't start 100 years ago with the Zionist movement. It started with the Talmidei HaGra and with the Talmidei HaBaal Shem Tov. And even before that, there were people like that. We're going to see Rabbi Yehuda Levi right away. The Ramban, Rabbi Ovadia Mibar Tanura, there are stories about all of these people. And maybe certainly here in Harnov, Rabbi Menachem Mendel Mishklov was one of the students of the Baal Shem. There was Rabbi Yisrael Mishklov, and there was Rabbi Menachem Mendel Mishklov. Now, the one terrible thing we Americans have done, and I don't think we're ever going to be able to do tshuva from it, is that we turned that street into Mishklov. There is no Mishklov. There never was a Mishklov. Take a look at the street sign. I think it's named after Rabbi Menachem Mendel Mishklov from the city of Shklov. We turned it into Mishkalov. We have to do tshuva for it. So I'd like to see the looks on people's faces when you tell them that you live at 8 Mishkalov. What? All right, it's a mistake. What can we do?
people made great sacrifices in order to come here. And they were the ones that kept alive the whole idea of Eretz Yisrael in the communities of Europe. There was something for the Zionist movement to hold on to. Chatimat HaSeifa. Just a few, I'm going to skip around over here. This is the end after he has finished the whole Sefer. Acha HaDvarim HaEla. After these things, Gomar HaKhovet B'Libo LaTzeitet Eretz HaKhozah V'Lelechet LiYerushalayim Tibana V'Tikohim. The Chavah decides that he's going to leave the land of the Khazars and he's going to Yerushalayim. Take a look at this. The same king who had told him earlier, you know, you have an obligation to go on Eretz Yisrael, but it was so difficult for him. He had become so close to the Chavah that it was difficult for him to see him leave. So he said to him, "My yesh levakesh b'Eretz Yisrael hayom? What are you going to go find in Eretz Yisrael today? Shashkinon ederes b'Gan Eden. There is no divine presence there." V'ilu hakirvalo l'ka halayashal asiga b'chol makom. Ayidei aleva tohar. If you want to be close to God, you can be close to God any place in the world. A pure heart. Vayidei atshuka achazokara, and a strong desire for God. You can find God any place on the face of this earth. V'lomazet tachnis atzmecha v'sakonas hamidbaros v'hayamim v'sinas hamim ashonim. Why are you putting yourself into a position that you're going to have to suffer the dangers of deserts and seas and the hatred of enemies all around? Says Rabbi Yehudah Halevi to him, "Achein, it's true that the divine presence that can be perceived is missing in Eretz Yisrael today, but there is a concealed divine presence, and that concealed divine presence has always been there, never left the land." Isn't that why Chazal said, "May Olam lo zozo shchina may Allah kotel ha-ma'aravi," the shchina, the divine presence, never removed itself from the kotel ha-ma'aravi. So he says, yes, shchina ha-nireit ayin ba-ayin, that shchina that you can see in there, derech kayom be'eretz Yisrael, it's missing. Ki ha-shchina shor rak al-navi o al-tzibur rotzui l'rekai v'rak v'mokam ha-meyuchad. But we look forward to the time that there will be a Shechina that is revealed. On the next, let's go over to the left-hand side of the page, second line. Aval Shechina Hamesteret, the concealed Shechina, Haruchanit, the spiritual one, He im kol ben Yisrael, Zach Hamasin, Utahor Halev, whose deeds and heart is pure, Asher kol Masan Nafsho Kodesh Lelekei Yisrael. His whole soul is devoted to the God of Israel. The Eretz Yisrael, the Ami Yuchedet L'Kei Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is the land that is special for the God of Israel. Vein Hamasim Shleimim Ki'im Bar. The only place where you can fulfill a mitzvah properly is in Eretz Yisrael. And there are many mitzvahs that were given to Jews, to Israel, that are betelot mimi sheino dor be'Eretz Yisrael. Many mitzvahs that simply don't apply to a person who doesn't live in Eretz Yisrael. And then let's go to the next paragraph, the little indentation. Ashela sakana b'yabasho b'yam. He says, what about the danger of going by land or by sea? So he says that halachically that danger cannot be considered. And he's the one who establishes the principle, do people journey there for business? If a businessman would journey there, despite the dangers, then halachically you have a responsibility to go to Eretz Yisrael, despite all of its dangers. And then he says that one of two things, if a person succeeds in getting to Eretz Yisrael, terrific, and if not, at least his death will be a forgiveness of sin. But he died trying to get to Eretz Yisrael, and he says that that's more worthwhile than people who go off to war so that they should die gloriously on the field of battle. Understand the terms that he's talking about? And yes, this is reason to go to Eretz Yisrael.
few lines toward the bottom, he says, a person who goes to Eretz Yisrael, Yodea hu ki darko zo tova miderecha anashim ha-mesaknin nafshotam b'milchama. A person who goes to Eretz Yisrael knows that his journey is better than people who endanger their lives in war. Im leman yaskirum b'shide ha-pura, either because they should be remembered in songs of great heroism, v'hanitzachon, or b'glal ha-sholol ha-gadol ha-shinitachu, or because all of the spoil that they're going to be able to find in battle. And this danger is less than the danger of people go off to war. On the last page. As the he says, finally, I'll tell you, I'm not even going to do that page. Let's go to the left-hand side. Next to last paragraph. Because I think that's the message that I want to get across. Gam mi shema'orer b'lei b'nei adam ahav olamakam ha-kodesh hazeh. Also one who awakens, arouses. What are the other words we used? Awakens, arouses, kindles. In the minds of people, in the hearts of people, ahav olamakam ha-kodesh hazeh, a love for this holy place. Roi l'sochar below suffering is worthy of reward. You have to try and awaken and arouse people, kindle in them a love for Eretz Yisrael. And by doing that, what you bring closer is the time of our great hope. Temoshenemar atosokum terachem tzion ki eis lechenino ki vomoe. God arise, have mercy on Tzion. The time has come to favor her. Kibon away. The time is here. Kiratzu avodecha es avoneha. Because your servants delight in her stones, vesafora yechonenu, and her dust they grace. Zot omeret, that means Yerushalayim lo tivaneh. Yerushalayim will not be built kiim kasher yishtokiku eleho b'nei Yisrael. Tachlis tshuka. You know when it's really going to be built? When Jews are going to desire it, long for it, and yearn for it. Until they are going to have pleasure in the stones and the dust of Eretz Yisrael. A great mitzvah, he says, this is how he ends the Sefer HaKuzri, to awaken people to the idea of coming to Eretz Yisrael. Not to give them all the excuses why not to come, but to truly awaken in them the idea of Eretz Yisrael. That's what I feel was missing more than anything else in that Psak Halacha that we have been dealing with. There was no... I don't think anybody comes away with it from it with a sense of arousal. I want to make that the goal of my life. As I said, if they would have written there, every Jew has to put it on the agenda. Good. If they would have said, discuss it, discuss the issue with somebody whom you trust and somebody whom you have confidence in. More than that. They didn't say that. On this pasuk, Kiratzu avodecha savoneha, desafora yechonenu, I want to close with a beautiful word. I heard it 40 years ago. 40 years ago. At the end of Masechet Ketubot, it says, on the last Amid, it says, Rav Gamda have a Migander the Afro Dara. Rav Gamda, when he came to Eretz Yisrael, he rolled with the earth of Eretz Yisrael. Sounds very poetic. Rav Gamda have a Migander in Aramaic. He rolled through the earth of Eretz Yisrael. Shenema, as it says, Ki Rotsu Avodeha es Avoneha. Your servants enjoy the stones and they grace the earth of Eretz Yisrael. One of the unusual Rashi's in Talmud appear here. Rashi's entire comment on this piece of Gemara is, quote, Ki rotzu avodecha es avoneha v'safora yichoneinu. All that Rashi does is repeat the pasuk. All that Rashi does is repeat the pasuk. He doesn't elaborate, he doesn't clarify, he doesn't comment, doesn't tell us anything. What's the Rashi doing there? What's the Rashi doing there?
You know, I imagine there'll always be somebody who'll come up with it. You know, it's a printer's mistake.
Hey, please.
Yeah.
You know what one of Rashi's genius greatness, Rashi tells us, comments, elaborates what he says, but what he omits. Because if we learn the Gemara as it is written, we could make a terrible mistake, and Rashi doesn't want us to make the mistake. The Gemara says, Rabbi Chiya bar Gamda, I'm sorry, Rabbi Chiya bar Gamda, Megandar ba'afara. Rabbi Chiya bar Gamda rolled in the earth of Eretz Yisrael when he came. Shenemar, as it says, Kiratzu avodecha es avoneha v'safori yichoneinu. You know what mistake we could make? We could think that Rabbi Chiya bar Gamda, when he came to Eretz Yisrael, he had planned already. Listen, there's a pasuk in Tehillim that says you know, for example, the hotshot great fellow from Chutz Lars comes to Eretz Yisrael, and he gets off the plane, and he's coming down the tarmac, and he sees, you know, all the video cameras. Then he says, "Boy, this is going to look great for all of time." He gets down on the ground and he prostrates himself and he kisses the asphalt. Or political leader gets elected to such and such, becomes head of his party, then boys, off to the kotel. Well, the kotel, you understand, writes a petek, and world TV is there watching. No, it's the right thing to do. When we learn the Gemara, because it says. So one could make the mistake of thinking that when Rabbi Chiya bar Gamda came to the border, he says, you know what you're supposed to do now? What you're supposed to do now is get down there and roll the earth. Rashi removes, he omits the word shenema. You know what Rashi is telling us? That when David HaMelech is talking about a servant of God who really loves Eretz Yisrael in his heart, that's Rabbi Chiya bar Gamda. That's who David HaMelech is talking about. Rabbi Chiya bar Gamda didn't do it shenemar because it says. No, you know what the whole comment on this Gemara is? Rashi removes the word shenemar and he says, Ki ratzu avodecha savaneha v'safori yuchaneinu. You know who's the true servant of God who loves the earth and the stones of Eretz Yisrael? That was Rabbi Chiya bar Gamda. That was his neshama. He wasn't doing anything because it looks right, or it sounds right, or it is right, or there's a pasuk, or there's even a halacha in Shulchan Aruch that says it. He did it because that was him. I think that we have dealt with this subject reasonably fully. I will only repeat again, especially since I saw it, I think it was last week in, Torah Tidbits. I'm not starting up with Torah Tidbits. There will not be another four or five weeks about Torah Tidbits. But they say that by the end of the century, the majority of Jews in the world will be living in Eretz Yisrael. So of course, when I read it, I thought of an article that I had written that was published in the Jerusalem Post about 6 years ago, where I predicted that by the end of the century there will be more Jews living in Eretz Yisrael than in any other country on the face of this earth, both for good and not such good reasons. I told you, was it last week, 2 weeks ago, I told you about my father's question to us, how many Jews are there in America? Unfortunately, America, the number of American Jews is going down. The number of Jews in Eretz Yisrael going up. Before, 50 years ago, Eretz Yisrael probably was had 400,000 Jews. That means it was, was it 10th or 15th? In the number of countries in the world, 60 years ago anyway.
And now we're talking about it's between the United States and Eretz Yisrael, and the, unfortunately, America is in constant decline and Eretz Yisrael is on the way up. This is the place. This is Beit Chayenu. That's the message that we have to get across. La'ored ha'lidot, as Rabbi Yehuda Halevi says, to be ma'ored, to awaken and arouse people to the greatness of the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. That's what has to be done. And the terrible tragedy of Bayit Sheni was because Jews didn't come. We can't make the same mistake a second time around. Erev Tov.